This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're continuing our conversation on Friday's U.S. Supreme Court decision ending the constitutional right to an abortion across America. We should add, of course, that right remains in place in Illinois because of state laws passed mainly in the past few years. We did ask our listeners in our text messaging group about this topic. Most of the sentiment went against the opinion. We did hear from a few people who were in favor of it. Gracia, who is from Naperville, said, "Praise God, may Illinoisans' eyes be opened and really begin to see the depravity as Governor Pritzker will seek to use our state as an abortion mecca. Moms mark this day by finding our local pregnancy center and getting them an outfit, diapers, and prayer over their physical building and the work they do." But as I said, most of the sentiment went the other way. Franny texted, "A lot of young women will die because of this ruling. So unfair." Titania said, "I am so emotional about this decision. I am angry, sad, scared, and frustrated. I am 100% pro-choice, and I am ready to do everything legally and morally possible to help enforce a woman's right to make all of her decisions regarding her body." And another listener said, "Sad days and a major step backward for society in safety and stability. Personally, not a fan of abortion, but I do think it's an individual's choice of whether to carry to term or abort the pregnancy." 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. Before the break, we heard from two anti-abortion rights activists. Now we're going to hear from two state lawmakers who support abortion rights. State Representative Anna Moeller is a Democrat from Elgin. Welcome back to the program, Representative. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also, State Senator Christina Passione-Zayas is a Democrat from the north side of Chicago. Senator, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And finally, we're joined by Professor Leslie Regan, a historian at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She's also the author of When Abortion Was a Crime, Women, Medicine, and Law in the United States, 1867 to 1973. Professor Regan, welcome back to the program to you as well.
Hi. Thank you.
So, Representative Moeller, where were you when you heard the Dobbs decision come down? What was your reaction Friday?
I was at home when I heard the news with my two teenage daughters, actually, who have been following this issue and very concerned about this issue. And although we knew that this day would probably be coming, we were still very shocked and sad to hear the final ruling out of the Supreme Court. They had a lot of questions about what the future is going to look like, not only in Illinois, but around the country for young women and those who are seeking reproductive health care. It was a very sad and disturbing moment for us as a family.
Thank you for sharing that. Senator Passione-Zayas, I wonder, same question to you. What was your reaction? And I wonder if you heard from any constituents over the weekend who were surprised. Maybe they hadn't been following the news, didn't see this coming.
Yeah, I was actually on my way to a press conference for life-saving medication for individuals who are managing HIV/AIDS. But we ended up having to quickly shift gears and, focused the press conference on this decision. I did hear from constituents over the weekend through our online portal, very concerned, wondering what can be done and what resources are available. I did also have people who were confused, so it was really important to clarify what rights exist in Illinois and what resources are available to support them or other individuals who are seeking a safe and accessible abortion in Illinois.
Professor Regan, I wonder what your perspective is, somebody who has so carefully studied what life was like for women and people who can get pregnant before Roe versus Wade. What is your perspective on this decision?
Well, I know really well from my research what the results of criminalization were for 100 years, and it is very disturbing and distressing to know that much of this will be the same. It won't be different, but that there will be a lot of suffering and injuries. And this is an extremely cruel decision.
We heard from one of our listeners, John, who texted, "This has been a 50-year journey by an unholy alliance," again in John's word, "of religious fundamentalists and big business interests. And in 50 years, liberals and Democrats didn't do a bleeping thing to stop it." I wonder, Professor Regan, in the past 50 years, why hasn't Roe versus Wade been codified in federal law, given that Democrats have at times had Congress and the presidency?
Oh, that's a complicated question. Democrats and Republicans supported legalization of abortion in the 60s and 70s and beyond. And it was not clearly partisan as to which party supported abortion rights and who was trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. But it has solidified into being very clearly a Republican position. And part of the reason for that is the coalition that was created late 60s, 70s of the New Right, which brought together Republican campaign experts with and brought together Catholic Church, evangelicals, and Mormons, and some Orthodox Jews in opposition to abortion. And it worked really well in the campaigns and swept Ronald Reagan into office. And so that is, this has worked politically for the Republican Party. And as to why Democrats haven't done what we now think maybe they should have done, they've tried to do things. There's been fear. There's sometimes, Democrats joined in voting for the Hyde Amendment, which prevented federal funding to all federal workers, people in the military, and anyone receiving Medicaid, federal insurance for healthcare. It has a lot to do with our electoral system too.
Sure, sure. And we don't have to get into a long discussion.
Yes.
Filibuster.
I'm sure other
else.
People can comment on that.
That's another show. I want to read another text message we got from a listener named Brandy, who asked, "What's next? Is Illinois at risk of losing our haven state status after the election this year?" Representative Mueller, I'm going to put that question to you. How do you think this ruling will affect abortion care in Illinois?
Sure. Well, just to be very clear, abortion is protected right now in Illinois. We passed House Bill 40 that removed the trigger law back in 2017. We passed the Reproductive Health Act that codified that abortion care is guaranteed for those who need it. And we passed the repeal of the PNA just this last year so that young people who are in crisis can access care. So right now it is available and safe for women and those who need it in Illinois. However, we are always one election away from things changing policy-wise. I chair the Human Services Committee in the House, and every year we have several bills that are filed by Republicans that would make abortion illegal or would add very difficult and challenging barriers to access care. And because Democrats control the House and control the Senate, and we have a Democratic governor, pro-choice, those bills don't advance in the legislative process. But if that were to change, one could see that these bills would advance and get votes and possibly pass. So while it's safe right now, we are at risk, if politically the dynamic changes in Illinois. And of course, we are concerned that if Congress shifts to a pro-life majority and we lose the presidency in 2 years, that there could be a federal ban on abortion, which would affect Illinois, regardless of the fact that we have state statutes that protect it. So these upcoming elections are very critical in ensuring that abortion stays legal and safe in our state.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health case that basically ended the constitutional right to an abortion that had been in place for more than 49 years. We're talking about that with State Representative Anna Mueller, a Democrat from Elgin, State Senator Cristina Pasione Zayas, a Democrat from the north side of Chicago, and Professor Leslie Regan, who wrote a book, is a historian at the U of I and wrote a book, When Abortion Was a Crime, looking at what life was like before Roe in the United States. 800-222-9455 is our number. Senator, I wonder, from your perspective, what are the next steps legislatively that, you and your allies who favor abortion rights are looking at? I've heard discussion of, you know, some states are, you know, have these bounty laws, as they're called, where people can be sued. You know, I think it was Connecticut tried to put in some protections for that. Where are you seeing the legislature going?
Well, as the governor announced on Friday, we are planning to return back to Springfield for a special legislative session to kind of explore a variety of legislative measures, some with respect to protecting licenses of individuals who, you know, perform abortion services for folks outside of Illinois. Also, you know, protecting basically any kind of providers who are dealing with those kind of like bounty laws. We also are looking at some nurse compact bills or some compact, like kind of provider sharing across states. There's also some discussion around how us making sure that our whole healthcare system can actually take on the influx. I mean, for example, Planned Parenthood is expecting, you know, at least 20 times more out-of-state abortion patients than what we see now. We already have 21% of the abortions performed in Illinois for folks outside of state, 87% coming from a combination of Missouri and Indiana. So we really need to fortify our healthcare system. And that also is really going beyond line item appropriations, but thinking about how we create a reproductive health equity fund.
Professor Regan, I wonder if you see, do you have a sense that this ruling is going to force people to return to some of those? We heard Governor Pritzker in his soundbite talk about the back alley abortion, right? The coat hanger is a sort of potent symbol for the abortion rights movement. There's a lot of medication now. There's really been a lot of medical developments that maybe make that less likely. Do you see a return to that? Do you see prosecution of one? Where do you see things going in the near term and in the medium term?
Well, just in case people just tuned in, I also want to underline it is legal in Illinois and it will stay legal. So because we're concerned about misinformation, I do notice the disinformation that your previous guests were engaging in, much like the 19th century renaming restoration of the menses, a very common practice legal under common law, we would call early abortion, and the anti-abortion movement renamed that infanticide and started calling the menses basically pregnancy and a baby. And we're talking here about the reality of history and the present and the future. What I saw, I expect the methods of enforcing the laws will return, which meant trying to capture surveillance, trying to capture people as they left abortion clinics and providers, arrest them, force women to undergo gynecological exams to find evidence. They might not have prosecuted those women for having abortions or attempting an abortion, but they were used, their bodies were invaded to gather evidence. And then they were also forced to testify in a public courtroom, which was of course primarily with men in the courtroom, about their bodies, their sexuality, and their experience. I think all of those things will be put back into place, because if there are prosecutors in states who want to end abortion, who want to pursue and punish, that's what they will be using. That's how they get evidence. It will be, and there will be people who can never find the abortion funds that are being created to help them get the abortions that they decided they need. they won't be able to get the information online because they will find misinformation when they're looking for the abortion pills, the medication pills. So some of those people are going to try their own things, or they'll go to someone else and they'll be injured and they'll, you know, potentially die. If they go to the ER, the emergency room, they will be interrogated by the staff. They will be interrogated by police. All of that happened for the 100 years of illegal abortion in the past. And it already happens today when poor women, women of color, miscarry. Many of them have already been arrested and prosecuted for quote unquote killing or for manslaughter of an unborn child. So that's already in place, those methods. And of course, today, what is different is, you know, we have a movement and we have states where it's legal. So a lot of people will be able to get what they need, but not everyone will. And that's what's so deeply concerning, at the criminalization of pregnancy.
We need to take a break on the show here. I'm going to ask our guests if you can stay around just a few more minutes after the break so we can continue this conversation. We also have a caller on the line. Lynn, please stay on the line. We need to take a break, but we do want to hear from you when we come back. 800-222-9455. We are talking about the decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, the U.S. Supreme Court decision on Friday that ended by a vote of 6-3. The constitutional right to an abortion. It overturned Roe versus Wade. Some questions about, I mean, that decision, Roe versus Wade, was rooted in the right to privacy. And that is an interest that goes beyond just women and people who can get pregnant. All of us have rights in privacy interests, and there are questions about what other Supreme Court decisions might be on the line because of that. We're talking about this earlier in the show. We heard from two activists in the anti-abortion rights movement. Now we've been speaking with State Representative Anna Mueller and State Senator Cristina Pasione-Zayas, both Democrats, and Leslie Regan, a professor of history at the University of Illinois, who wrote the book When Abortion Was a Crime, looking at abortion and the law before Roe versus Wade. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is the 21st Show. Do stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision basically ending the constitutional right to an abortion nationwide. Illinois, of course, is not subject to that because the issue, as the U.S. Supreme Court says, was returned to the states, and Illinois already has laws in place protecting abortion access here. So nothing has changed, at least in the short and medium term, in Illinois because of that. I want to take a call. Lynn is calling from Decatur on line 4. Lynn, thank you for calling in.
Yes, good morning, and thank you to the legislators. Maybe too futurized, but is anyone thinking of ways to shift the narrative to find a middle ground? I'm hearing a lot in the coverage, younger callers especially, drawing analogies between the lack of support for foster children who are homeless and sleeping on agency floors, the lack of caregiving frontline staff for our elders, our frail elders who often are abused in settings because there's insufficient staffing. In other words, broadening the pro-life narrative rather than opposing it wholesale, and then finding a place in the middle ground to, as one of the sociologists I heard recently mentioned, that the women who opposed suffrage, many of them had policy plans to have a salary, some kind of a Scandinavian style, basically a wife salary, if you will. I mean, is there anything creative? And I can take my answer off the air. I'm just curious what they're thinking about. I do a lot of sociology conversations, and you know, where's the middle ground for young people to start moving forward next?
All right. Thank you for the call, Lynn. We appreciate it. Let me just remind listeners, we're speaking with Professor Leslie Regan of the U of I, who's a historian who's studied these issues deeply. Also, State Senator Christina Pasione Zayas, a Democrat from Chicago, and State Representative Anna Mueller, a Democrat from Elgin. And Representative Mueller, I'll begin with you if you want to respond to what Lynn was saying about finding a way to change the narrative on this topic to bring more people into the middle, I guess.
Sure. Well, the irony of this discussion is that when we talk about public funding of for contraceptives, funding for child care, for child welfare services, funding for seniors and elder care, it's Democrats who have led on this issue, and those who also support making sure that women have access to reproductive health care. I've seen debate after debate on the House floor where those who claim to be supportive of life, quote unquote, rail against funding for childcare for low-income families and rail against funding for public programs that can help families in need, making sure that families have access to food, housing assistance, all of the things that people need to make sure that their children and their loved ones are taken care of. They're also opposed to those types of measures as well. So this idea that the anti-choice community cares about life and cares about small children strikes of, hypocrisy and, not following through on what their message is. And so I think there is middle ground. I think that those who support women and their healthcare also support families and children and the elderly to make sure that they're taken care of. I think that's already been demonstrated. And the narrative that's promulgated by the anti-choice crowd doesn't bear out with their actions.
It was a widely shared George Carlin clip on Twitter I saw over the weekend. It's 30 years old, where he was saying, if you're pre-born, you're golden. If you are preschool, not so much. He was a little more profane in how he said that. Senator Pasione Zayas, I wonder if you have a perspective on that or anything else the caller mentioned.
Yeah, no, I would like to just add, I think, when we're talking about framing the discussion, this is about privacy and choice. And what's so ironic is that, those that are anti-choice are very much in many ways about privacy and about self-determination. And these are fundamental human rights. What this is really about is control. And this is about forced births. Because to the point that Representative Miller was just making, all of the issues that have to do with after birth, our opponents have voted against. We now have families that are dealing with record inflation. We have a baby formula shortage. We have the highest maternal mortality and morbidity rate in the world. We have no paid leave following birth. We have no universal child care, no universal health care. We have a fragile and fragmented, inequitable health care system, especially for Black, Indigenous, Latino, communities and folks with limited economic resources. We don't even have a guaranteed livable wage. All of these things, those are about supporting life after birth. Yet our opponents are not about putting the constructs in place or the dollars, frankly, to make sure that we can guarantee this. So it's, and I think the other point is that 61% Pew Research, you can look this up right now. We have the highest support for the legality of abortion in 27 years. 61% of those polled across the country support it in all or most cases. So there is a lot of consensus around this. And I think what we have to do is actually cut through the disinformation.
State Senator Cristina Passione-Zayas is a Democrat from Chicago. We've also been speaking with State Representative Anna Mueller, Democrat from Elgin, and Professor Leslie Regan, a historian at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We will continue talking about this issue in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.